Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. How's everybody? We want to welcome you back to another edition of On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and I'm here with my very good friend, Dr. Jay Moore. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you this morning?
Man, look, I'm there. But you know what? I have no complaints. I figure any morning that I got these eyes to wake up, and his mouth to wake up, and his brain to wake up, and I can move his body around. I'm good. Hey,
thanks, sir.
We want to say thank you to all of our listeners. You guys keep coming more and more and more, and we appreciate that. We also want to say thank you for your input and for the things you say on Facebook. And I see a couple of you said some stuff over through Twitter, too, so that's good. And thank you for participating, and we hope that you continue to listen. And we're actually having plans for us to grow our format over to Radio Phoenix. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on. Today, we're going to do the second part to what we did last week. And
Trey,
brother,
before you do that, can I say a little something?
Feel free.
I just want to say our hearts and minds go out to the folks in Oregon. I know that was a really devastating tragedy. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the president got on the air and mentioned that this stuff has happened over and over again. A lot of folks on their shows addressed that. And I just like to, you know, just say a little something about that to let those folks know we are thinking about them. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's got to be, I can't even imagine what it's like to deal with something like that. I know we've had so many of those. And they talked about how we've had more folks lost to gun violence in the United States since 9/11 than we have terrorist acts. So that's just something to kind of put out there to think about. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to focus.
No, that's not an interruption. It's actually in line with what we were saying. Because our title today was, Is It True? Because the media said so. And And on with that, it's like oftentimes the media presents a topic in other media outlets, and many of us, you know, humans take the perspective and just run with it. Is everything the media says true? I mean, is it based in truth? How do we determine or ascertain or say the truth and distill it from that part that's not? And are we able to? Are we allowed to? So we want you guys to join us in this edition of On Point. And on our segment, Bet You Didn't Know. And we're going to revisit the power of the media and how its perspectives and suggestions and interpretations reflect on our lives. So we want you to chime in with us today. And remember, our phone number is 347-855-8662. Love to hear from you. Jay, back on that, on that issue in Oregon and the president. Something he said that was resonant with me, and they were saying the president appears to be angry, and it appears that he's allowed his emotion to take over. Every broadcaster on the face of the frickin' planet, and some of you have chimed in with us, and that's cool. So hear me and pass this on to your brethren, because we're a part of that. You are stupid if you believe that we should have a president that's not supposed to be emotional about something that he's actually addressed time and time again, something that shouldn't be addressed. My God, get a freaking clue. Why should our president
come and
apologize for something that shouldn't be happening?
Well, that's the double standard of the media, that part of what we're talking about, because, you know, if you look at, take for instance, President Obama, he's not allowed to be emotional, but you take John Boehner, and you mention one thing and he breaks out into tears, and that's completely okay for him to be emotional. I think there's a double standard there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
it's
Boehner.
Well,
that's what he does.
I think we're looking at it as a Republican, Democrat, a black, white, whatever type of issue, and I think there's more to it than the media. I think that, you know, I was listening to a report sometime back, and there was a gentleman who used to work for Fox News, and he says basically everyone has a situation in the war room where they get in and they say, okay, this is basically the word or the phrase of the day, and here's how we're going to frame things. Here is that particular optic that we're going to present out there. And I think that there's something wrong with that, because it's not about what's best for people. It's about them controlling things. And let me share a little situation story with you that it happened some time back. And I used to teach this in my communications class to get people to understand perspective and how the media actually works. There was a senator some time back in Washington, D.C., married gentleman, wife and family, and he was having rendezvous with this 17-year-old gentleman, and the media found out about it. And they dined him out, turned him into a pedophile, and all these just horrible things. Now, what we have to look at, the whole situation, and the media doesn't present the whole situation. We don't get that. We get just what they want you to hear. See, they turned the guy into a pedophile. Now, realistically, did the guy cheat on his wife? Yes. Does that make him a bad guy to some degree? Sure, of course. You know, people are going to see it that way. Did he not uphold his standards for his constituents? Absolutely. Is he a pedophile because the guy was 17? Well, most people are going to probably say yes. But what they didn't tell you in the meeting is the age of consent in Washington, D.C. is 16. So does it make him a horrible person? Yeah. Does it make him a pedophile? No. But that's what they painted him at. You follow me? The media paints the picture that they want you to have. And I think that's interesting that they can do that. I don't know if some of you saw the clip on Facebook where the police officer says, I'm not going to give this shooter the courtesy of naming his name. And this was in the Senate report. And 30 seconds after he says that, CNN says, well, actually, we do have his name. And they just went ahead and blurted it right out. And I thought, wow. You know, it's interesting the power that the media does have.
Oh. There's so many mishaps. Listen, people, Google has become your ally, your best friend. And there's so many stories of things the media has expounded upon and blown out of proportion that just weren't true. You know, the kid at Target, and when he had his story and everybody was all up and crazy about it, and they figured that, oh, yeah, this is a great story. Wonderful. Joy, joy, joy. They figured that it was a marketing ploy by Target, and it actually wasn't. But what happened was that it was a marketing ploy for the news that then gave Target more free press and a humongous plug. They pay for the kids' college. And it's like, wow, that was great, kid. Whatever you did, that was wonderful. And it was simple because of a simple act of kindness, a gesture.
Wow.
You know, here's one. And the media crucified the actions of, may she rest in peace, Ms. Strand. Sandra Brand, excuse me, and it crucified her actions, thereby crucifying her character, defamation of her character, because that the action she took, the officer, for unprovoked, for no reason, because he didn't like her smoking in her car, before he told her what she'd actually committed as a violation, a moving violation, there wasn't one. She reached in and tried to snatch her out of her car. She asked him, why are you doing this? Media blew it up that she was belligerent and that she became combative and the female was scared. The woman was scared. And please don't get me wrong. It's not that a guy wouldn't be scared. It's his composure might be a little bit different than a female that is actually grabbed by a man. And in lieu of today's activities between the police and the civilians, especially those of a darker hue, yeah, you'd have some concerns. What the media didn't do, and this just explains, it puts a nice cap on it. They didn't say that 6 minutes before he stopped her, there was a kid being stopped. I'm not going to make it a color issue. That matters a damn. But here's how it happened. Feel free. Let me see. What do I say? Google it. Stops this kid. You see him get out the car, da-da-da-da, this, that, the other. Walks over to the kid. 18, 19 years old. Kid goes like, he says, do you know why I stopped you? He said, I have the slightest idea. And he says, well, do you have a driver's license? Not really on me. Okay. Where's your credentials, your proof of registration? Didn't have it. This was the last thing that I had. Here's a piece of paper. No proof of insurance. He runs the kid. Finds that the kid was driving on a suspended license. Now let's put this in its perspective. He got stopped. And, you know, you could see he was going quick because they got it on the dash cam. Pulls over. No proof of insurance. No proof of registration. Driving on a suspended license, non-registered vehicle. His car should have been towed. He should have been out of there. And they should have either made him walk home or he should have got arrested. He should have been on the side of the road. He should have got snatched out of the car. He should have had the door open. They should have grabbed him by his ankles and pulled him out the car. He should have been told that he was going to get tased. But instead, what happened was, and the media never said a freaking word. So you believe that this woman, this girl, she was just a monster. But you never saw this. And they allowed him to go with the warning. The officer, the same damn officer, told him, well, you might want to ask your dad to check in for this for you. What? You might want to let him know that your registration is expired. And ask him to help you get your driver's license back. I'm giving you a warning. And he said, oh, okay, cool. Thank you, sir. That's great. He said, hey, you take care. Be safe now. It's on Google. I don't have to exaggerate. Let's him go. See the car up the street. Turn. Going opposite direction. 6 minutes later, he's behind the female. If you look in her windshield, it's on the dash cam. You look in her rear window windshield. You see the lights flash. No siren. She pulls over. What's the rule? When you go to get your driver's test, the first thing they say, if you see emergency vehicles with flashing lights, you're supposed to do what? Pull over immediately to the right. There you go. And his first question that he asked her, not how are you doing today? Ma'am, why did you pull over? And the media never said a thing about it. Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to address. How the media handled it. As you know, it's you know, by rights we should have a police officer that pulls us over that's affable, but often they're very combative, and it's kind of tough to disabuse somebody from the perspective of certain police officers treating them in a certain fashion. You know, the moment they're pulled over. So you know, some people are going to have an attitude, but I'm digressing. I think that what we have to look at is how the media presents that, because I find myself hard pressed to believe that female is going to have the temerity, the boldness to confront a cop and give him a hard time to the point where he is going to be scared. That is what my struggle is, because
right.
You know, I'm not saying there aren't ladies out there who could probably take a cop. There might be a couple out there. I get that.
Yeah,
but if
yeah.
I pull up to your car and I have a pistol in my right hand or on my holster, and you have a driver's license, I'm pretty sure I have the advantage. So
just because.
I don't really have to. I don't. Yeah, I mean, driver's license versus pistol—that's a pretty clear-cut kind of thing. Like, you know, you're Steven Seagal, and you sharpen the edge of your driver's license, or something like that. Obviously, you know, I'm being facetious, but
yeah, sure, it's driver's license.
How the media presents it. Now, I'm gonna stay in the same realm, but shift gears on you a little bit. You know, I got to thinking about, and I'm sorry, folks, that I missed last week. I had a wedding to attend, but. I'm back now. We're in full force. But
glad to have you
mentioned, thanks, that there was a media perspective on an incident that happened with a photographer. Can I be so bold as to bring that back up just a moment?
Man, feel free.
Okay. Now, my understanding of the situation, go ahead, lay it out there. Let me put this out
because this happened too. And there's another point I want to make, and these people, you know, I don't mean to put you on blast because I know you're listening, and I actually joined as one of the followers. Michael Williams, yes, the media does have influence, so much so it's recognized by the United States Supreme Court, the federal court, the state court, the city court. If you go into a court and there was a high-profile case, a case that they believe can influence the public, the first thing they say is they want a jury that hasn't seen the news, heard the news, or has been approached by anyone of the media.
Now, I think that's a little tougher now, given that we have all the electronic devices, too. Just
you feel me? Now, if the court recognizes that the media is an influence, why can't the damn general public? I'm just saying. Don't argue with me about it. I'm just letting you know exactly what actually exists. Anyway, last week we were talking about this. It appears that PETA, the same group of people who actually help individuals get out of jail, if they make it that far, for assaulting people. You know, when you wear a piece of fur or coat, you know, they promote people throwing paint on you. That's assault. And because you touched them with something other than your hand, you use an object. That's aggravated assault. But they get away with it on a regular basis. PETA believes that they're upright beyond reason. Nonetheless, they are suing a photographer who had pictures that were taken of a monkey, a macaque monkey, and in excess over $250,000, well over. The monkey used or was not at the request of the photographer was playing with the shutter, the automatic shutter mechanism, and started taking pictures of itself. Captivated by the sound, you see him looking like what he's doing is smiling. PETA is suing the photographer because the photographer took the pictures, put them on National Geographic and some other animal magazines, and they're saying that the monkey should be compensated. We had an individual who believed the monkey should be compensated. And he argued with me. I was heated. And let me say this before I apologize for my outburst last week. I was hot. The sheer, unadulterated, unmitigated ignorance of what I was listening to was reprehensible to me. Not that justifies my actions, but I'm apologizing to our followers and our listeners because I was hot. But anyway, and I had to pass it on.
I understand, but there's a couple things I want to throw out there. Now, this is just me. Now, I think if a monkey had taken my camera and taken a few selfies, first off, I'm going to probably be a little bit amused. I think that, you know, we talk about the whole opposable thumb thing, but that's a different conversation. But the fact that he took pictures and someone wants to compensate the monkey, I find it a little interesting because that is basically personifying the animals. Now, I'm not saying we should mistreat them. But,
right.
You know, like I said, I would hurl a couple of bananas his way and say, hey, thanks a lot, monkey. I'll see you on the cover. Whatever the case is. That's the way I would see it.
Right.
Now, if we think the monkey should be compensated, that means we're going to treat the monkey like he's a human.
Correct.
That being said, using that opposable thumb that he was so well endowed with, perhaps he should learn to fill out a Social Security card, maybe some W-2s, and then we can look at some compensation. But if we're going to go that far and treat the monkey as a human, if we're going to go down this path, well, let's go ahead and say, all right, well, he stole my camera. So I think maybe perhaps he should do a little bit of jail time. I mean, if we're really going to go down that path. So I don't think that people really look at the whole contextual issue when they say we compensate him, then okay, then I'll pay
you. Don't do it.
You get out of jail.
Don't do it.
I'm waiting for you. I'm just saying. You know, when you get out of jail, I'll have you a pack of bananas with $75, and whatever it is that you require as compensation, you shall be remunerated. That's fine. But if you're going to take my money, you need to do your time. You know, and what they used to say in Beretta, don't do the crime.
There you go. Don't do the crime.
You got to jail the monkey. And it becomes this ridiculous, cyclical kind of perspective that I just think that, you know,
they've decided to take this to a federal court. That's taxpayers' money.
I have to say this.
All right,
go ahead.
It's federal taxpayers' money. They're taking this suit to federal court to sue this man who has his camera that was used by a monkey, a primate, that has no concept of what monetary compensation even means. So what would happen? Would Peter become the I guess, monetary guardians of his compensation? How does the monkey get paid? Is it a banana payload? You know, did they buy him a condo in the woods for all the other monkeys? Does he get his own TV show? What the funkadoodle? I cram to understand. I hope that the court does exactly what's supposed to happen and tell them to get the hell out of Dodge and throws it out. But the fact of the matter was the media said, and now this is something that actually should be taken into consideration. Great. And they had the unmitigated gall to use the example that, well, if a cougar bites a person, they put the cougar down. I'm like, yeah.
You should sue the cougar and get some money.
You feel me? I'm like, don't kill the cougar. Send him to jail. You violated his rights then. He should go to court and he should face a jury of his peers, all the other little cougars and panthers and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my.
I think sometimes go ahead, man. I want to share with you my perspective on animal rights.
I just believe that it was taken way the hell out of context and that they used their power of influence to make other to sway people across. And I believe that the weaker of these individuals, weaker minded of these individuals that see this, that just go off of everything that's first said. Now, something the gentleman said last week was, you have to do your own research. I concur. But after you do your research, then what? Okay, and what?
Well, I think you have to use the common sense that you were blessed with. And I think that's the problem with a lot of folks. Yeah, because I've had students come in and they recite something that makes no logical sense whatsoever. And then they say, and that's my belief. I said, well, why? Because I heard it on the TV. That's not a reason.
And is that your belief? Is that your belief, or is that just a translated quote? It's not your belief if you're quoting.
They don't have Right. They don't have their own perspective, so they share someone else's and then say that they're their own because they're not taking the time to think. Now, I had a mentor always said, peel the onion back, go layers deep so that you see what's going on. Look at the real scenario there.
Yes.
You know, and it's just funny. I mean, I, by no means am I suggesting that we treat animals improperly or, you know, do any of those things when I talk about animal rights. But I have to look at it this way. Getting mad at an animal or trying to do something outrageous because an animal does what an animal does would be like getting mad at a dog for barking or a tree for being wood. And it doesn't make sense to me. And I'll tell you, I used to live in Hawaii, Trey. And here's something I found very interesting. There are shark attacks in Hawaii. There's shark attacks all over the place. But in Hawaii, they would go shark hunting after a shark bit someone. Now, I don't know how they all ascertain which shark bit someone. I don't know if he has blood dripping down his mouth or if they say he looks like the one. But at the risk of sounding somewhat weirdly racial, I'm thinking that a lot of sharks look alike. So how do you know which one is the right shark? But they would go shark hunting after a shark bit someone, and then they'd announce, we caught the shark and they killed him. Now, I'm thinking, if I'm sitting in my living room watching TV, watching Jeopardy or whatever, you know, that favorite show that someone watches it, and someone comes into my living room, and I'm so upset because he's interrupted my TV show and knocked over my popcorn that I bait him or punch him in the face, whichever. You can't come hunt down. He came in my house. And the way that I'm looking at it is the sharks live in the water. Now, if you decide to hop on the surfboard and lay on it in a fashion that makes you look like a nice, tasty seal, shark bites you, you're in his living room. That's where he lives. That's what he does. He's a shark. Sharks bite people.
Yeah, 50 yards off the shoreline.
Then, you know, you see the media, well, you know, we're going shark hunting, and the people say we're going shark hunting, you know, and you hear PETA talk about protecting animals. I don't hear PETA out there saying don't kill the sharks. I don't hear that. But I'm just saying it's so funny how people get on a bandwagon of something, whether it's media-based or just lack of mental fortitude-based, and they run with it. And I think that realistically, if we stopped for a moment and just started utilizing the brain cells that we all have firing, those synapses we have firing that are working together, and stop taking everybody and everything's word for it and do research and read between those lines and look at the context of things, we might start seeing things that we were meant to see. And
right.
I think that's the problem. If we hear, well, such and such said this, and I don't believe it, but I'm going to follow it. You know, we talked about there's nothing worse than, what do we say, sincere ignorance. Martin Luther King said sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. And
right.
That's horrible. That's absolutely horrible because I've seen folks who know that they're wrong, but they back it up. And I think it's realistically, it's time for us to stop backing up the things that if you don't know that they're wrong, if you're not sure about it, do your research, follow through, and look at those other perspectives because there's more than just the ones we see on the TV, Facebook, Internet, and all those.
And know your power. Know your power. There's not a show on television. There was a show on television called Girlfriend. Predominantly African-American cast, all females, blah, 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 whatever. It got canceled. The ratings weren't low, according to what they said. The ratings weren't low. They just said that they weren't getting enough viewership. That means that the ratings were low to me. I'm like, okay, they weren't getting enough viewership. But the ratings were strong. People wrote so much in that they put the show back on in a different network, and it did well.
Mm-hmm.
Look, here's the thing. Yes, do your research, but understand the power that you have inside your hands, inside your mind. Make sure that you make your voice heard. That's what we're here for, and that's what you have the power and the ability to do. We're going to end this, and we hope to see you next week. Raise your glasses. Remember, every thought is grand. Every idea is warranted, and for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.